Welcome back into the Conversationalists. I'm James Payne.
And I'm Brandon Trujillo.
And we have a very cool episode tonight. We've got a makeshift camera. We got
alcohol. We got beer.
What are you drinking right now?
Right now I'm drinking a bottle of Dos Equis, my favorite.
And we have a six pack sitting on the table too.
Yeah. It might get a little crazy.
I have a... I got some weird fucking beer. It's called Old Rasputin Imperial Stout. I'm already too deep, and it's 9%, so...
It's 9% alcohol.
Yo, it's like a freaking bread, dude.
It's like double.
It's insane. So, tonight we're doing a special episode, tentatively entitled, Who the Hell Are You? Where, you know what, our listenership is growing, the promotion's kind of going word of mouth, really, and also through, like, our social media and stuff.
Yeah.
Greg from New Jersey. Freaking Greg, dude, he has been emailing us like crazy, conversationalistpodcast@gmail.com, by the way.
That's a good plug. Good job on that plug.
Yeah.
I applaud you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, you gotta plug our own stuff. Gotta plug it. But if you have any questions, if you want to hear us talk about anything specific, feel free to email us there. By the way, speaking of specifics, this is a little off topic, but Sergeant Mabry was texting me yesterday.
For real?
And that reminded me that he wants to come on the podcast.
He does. In April, he wants to come.
Yeah, he wants to come on the podcast. Now, this tangent also reminds me that poor Booster Club.
So for our unit, me and Payne are the I'm the vice president. He's the president of the Booster Club. So that makes us in charge of all the fun events or the snacks that need to be sold and whatnot.
Basically, the morale of the unit rests on our shoulders.
Yes, yes, and we're not really doing
anything. We're not doing anything. So just to kind of give you some backstory, and this is actually going to segue really nicely into what our first question is going to be tonight. But Brandon and I, right now, we're both in the Air Force Reserves. Can't really talk about what we do, but that's okay. But our unit, which is an awesome unit, we're only in there 1 week in a month now. That's like our status. So we used to be full-time. We used to do it every day. Stuff like that. We brought a lot of young blood and energy into that place. But because we're not there full time, we're kind of limited. Yeah, we can do, like, we both have lives outside of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. They're never going to the river again. But anywho.
No, of course they're going to
the river. Yeah, definitely. Wink, wink. Sergeant Mabry, if you're listening, actually, he is a listener. You're definitely going to the river.
I mean, you can go with us, just me.
So in order to become the Booster Club president and vice president, we kind of had to swing some votes our way. There was like a legit type of like little, you know, it was kind of an insurrection. We're not like Mussolini, but like our efficiency rates, like, you know, we make the trains run.
Yes.
Okay. But Sergeant Mabry, who, you know, he has a little clout there. He's the head of PT over there and stuff.
I'm the head of PT.
You're the head of PT.
Yeah.
Does he work for you? I never understood that.
Well, he doesn't work for me. He's the alternate.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not like me and Vogel, where I do work for Vogel.
Yes.
Literally, great supervisor. So Sergeant Mabry, one of his big conditions for us being elected was we would go to the river as a unit, float the river, drink, it's a good time.
I honestly don't know what river he's referring to.
I don't know.
The Rio Grande?
I don't.
The Euphrates?
Is there... the Sea of Galilee? Where Jesus walked on? I don't know where this river is either, but it is what it is. But that leads into our first segment, sorry. We've been talking for 5 minutes already. God, this podcast sucks. But people love it for some reason, especially Greg. Greg fucking loves it.
You know what? I think it's because we're very personable.
We are.
Like, we're not some high celebrity.
We are not.
Doing podcasts or whatnot.
No.
We're not stand-up comedians. We're not YouTubers.
Yeah.
We're just regular old people.
Yeah.
Right? And
So that's interesting because you know how that saying, like, people are like, listen, I got no skin in the game.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm like, no, when I'm listening to a podcast, I want you to have some fucking skin in the game.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to care about it.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I want you to answer my questions if you email us at conversationalistpodcast@gmail.com. Boom. So
you're killing it, man.
Dude,
I've
segued that twice now pretty long. So our first question today. So basically what we're gonna be doing here, as the name of our show, you know, implies, it's a conversation.
Yep.
All right, we're gonna be having a conversation. Now typically we're gonna have topics that we're talking about, even when we go on our solos. Like you did your
Yep. Good. Look, watch this. About to plug my episode. If y'all haven't listened to that one, I did my first episode about fitness. It has stuff to do with supplements and nutrition and whatnot. So listen to that.
Which is, by the way, that's a great episode for the people who work out but who don't know a lot. If that makes sense. Like, that's me in a nutshell. Like, I go to the gym, and I guarantee you, like, when I go to the gym, I crush it harder than, like, most of the people in there. But guess what? I don't know about supplements. I don't know what to be drinking and not to take and all that different stuff. So that is a great episode to listen to. But kind of like those episodes where we have like individual topics. So you did your supplement episode, I did my movie episode, and then usually when we're having a conversation, like we're talking about something specific, this one's going to be kind of free-flowing. We want you to know who we are. Mm-hmm. So basically we're going to have some questions, we're going to have some answers, and we're just going to talk. We're going to have a conversation about who the hell we are. Mm-hmm. And that kind of goes into the first question. Why'd you join the Air Force? Like, why did Brandon Trujillo, like, decide to join the Air Force? What's that story behind
it? Honestly, going out of high school, in high school, I never had the aspiration to be like, oh, I'm going to join the military, right?
What'd you want to be?
I just wanted to be a doctor.
Really?
Yeah, a doctor in physical therapy.
And that's what you're going to school for right now?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm not trying to be a doctor anymore.
Gotcha.
You know, that plan has changed. Because I suck at chemistry.
You and me both, brother.
So, I'm just planning on maybe being like a physical therapist assistant. You
yeah.
know? I can do that. That seems pretty easy. You don't got to like go to doctor school or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
For that. So, again, the main reason why I joined the Air Force was for school, really.
To help pay for that school.
To help pay for school, really. I did 2 years of college, and then I was like, this is kind of getting kind of boring.
Yeah.
Like, at first, I was like, well, if I do plan on being a doctor, I'm going to go to college mm-hmm. and then be an officer in the military. And
yeah.
And that way they can pay for that type
yeah.
of school.
Yeah.
Right? But then at some point, after 2 years, I was like, this is like getting kind of monotonous in a way. Just going to school, doing the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
I did it for 4 semesters, and I was like, I want to do something else.
I think a lot of people hit that too.
Yeah.
They do hit that point where it's like, yo, I'm like I'm actually kind of at that point right now. I'm in school full time, like Brandon, and we are like barely a third of the way through the semester, and I'm ready for it to end. Like, I'm really ready for it to end. Like, I'm like
halfway there because I started before you.
Yeah, yeah. You're when did your semester start this semester?
Like the 9th of January.
Oh yeah, I was like 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah, people do get to that point. So basically you're stuck in this like kind of monotonous, like you've been doing 4 semesters and then you were just like Air Force.
Yeah. Or? I was just like, I'm not going to join any other branch really.
Why not?
I know I wanted to be, look, so I have a cousin in the army.
Right? Okay.
And he's like, he was in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And he was infantry though.
Oh wow.
And, he got like both of his legs blown off.
Jesus.
IED. So that's why I didn't want to be in the army.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't want to lose my legs like you did, to be honest. And he was like, but if you do go and join the military, do 2 years and then go active, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, but I really want to finish school though. Like, I can't really be active and then go to school.
Yeah.
I can't be active for 4 years or whatever and yeah. then go back to school. Like,
yeah.
I want to finish as quick as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, so I'll just join the Air Force Reserves. Right.
Yeah.
They still have to pay for your school tuition assistance wise, which is what I'm getting now.
Yeah. So you can do active
yeah.
with them.
Like, yeah. I can be on order anytime I want to.
Yeah.
So like, I don't have anything to do in the summer.
I'm on Me orders. Too. I'm going to be on orders all summer.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I mean, that's easy money, first and foremost, but it's like, I didn't pay for school.
Cause yeah.
I had scholarships, and I had like maybe one loan.
Yeah.
But I still had to pay like $2,000 out of pocket every semester.
Because you're going to St. Mary's,
yeah,
which is private. Yeah. It's going to be a little more expensive. Like, I go to UTSA.
Yeah.
I go to the public university. Yeah. I don't need that private education. Okay. I'm a poor bastard. Okay. I was actually thinking about transferring over to UIW next semester. And with everything that I get from, like, the Cherokee Nation, from my grandfather, all that stuff, from the military, I did... Like, my aunt and I sat down and did the math, and I would still be paying, like, $3,000 out of pocket every semester.
Yep.
And I was like, no, I'm just going to stay at UTSA then.
Yeah.
But, so you basically, okay, so your cousin, you said, is in the Army?
Yeah.
He goes to Afghanistan, gets his legs blown off, which, that's incredibly sad.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the Army infantry, they're treated, they're a number. Like, they account for casualties, you know? Like, it's kind of a tough gig. But, so you think... So, did you have any family in the Air Force? Or were you just, like...
Oh, actually, I had a cousin in the Air Force. But he's technically my rank now.
Yeah.
But he joined out of high school.
Okay, gotcha.
But since I had college credit...
Yeah, you kind of got that bump.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you joined...
He's in security forces, though.
Oh, man, he's security forces. Yeah. Really? Oh, wow. Where's he at?
I think he's in Florida, I think.
Like Colbert Field or Tyndall or one of those?
Yeah. So. But like one of his first assignment was in Guam.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah.
I've got a BMT guy. So basic military training for all those who don't know. I have a flight mate who is in my BMT flight. He got stationed in Guam. Like first assignment.
It's pretty chill.
Dude, it looks incredible. Like his stories are amazing. But, okay, so you're in school, all tuckered out after four semesters. Totally feel that.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it right now. So you think, okay, I'm going to switch this up a little bit, switch lanes, go to the Air Force, help, have them help me pay for school.
Yeah.
So we both do intel. That's all we're going to say about that. But how did you get that job? Because, that's a pretty tough gig to get. Not many people just get put in intel.
Yeah, I didn't get put in intel. I had a pretty good ASVAB score.
Yeah.
So, and my recruiter was telling me, like when I first, talked to him, he was talking about how, intel is, one of the big things now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's huge. And especially down here.
He was like, but that was just before I took the ASVAB. And then he was like, they might have openings for that if you're interested in that. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah.
And I took it. And he was like, oh, here are the jobs that are available. And it was, six different jobs. But I was like, shit that I didn't want to do.
Yeah.
Like radio shit or, electronic shit.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what about that intelligence job you're telling me about? He was like, I'm not sure if they have any slots. Let me check. And then he had to make some calls and whatnot. I was in the office. And he was like, oh, they actually do. I was like, you're about to offer me these piece of shit jobs.
Yeah. That's, so what's really funny. Okay. So a little bit of a story here. So I'm originally from Kansas City area, right? So I was living up there 2.5 years ago. I did not know what the fuck I wanted to do. I was really, really lost. I had just come back from a Catholic seminary where I was basically seeing if I had a vocation to be a priest. Did not work out. Was not my lane at all. God bless them. What an incredible place, but not my thing. So I end up back home in my hometown of St. Mary's, Kansas, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I didn't have really any college done. I had a semester under my belt. I did not want to join the military at all. And so...
You did?
I did not,
no. That's surprising, because you have family in the military.
I know. My dad was in the Marines. My uncle is in the Air Force currently. He's a top dog. And they had both been pushing for me a long time. They've been like, you should join the military. And I was like, hell no. I was kind of just a bum. I was like, no, I want to make money. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to travel. I want to write all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I thought in my mind, I was like, the military doesn't coincide with all that stuff. So anywho, I'm lost. So I don't know what to do. So the one thing that's been consistent over the last 3 years at that point was everyone keeps telling me I should go into the military. So maybe I should give it a shot. So I start talking to a recruiter up in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Terrible. Terrible. Like, exactly what you went through. Like, I scored really well in my ASVAB, and the jobs that they're giving me are, like, logistics.
Yeah.
Personnel. You know, all this stuff. And I'm like, what? Like, no, I don't want to be an HR rep for the Air Force, you know? And so my uncle eventually called me, and he was like, just get your ass down here. Get out of Kansas. Move to San Antonio. We'll help you out. Yeah. So I dropped that recruiter, essentially. And I feel bad because he had done all my ASVAB stuff, my MEP stuff, like all that stuff. I moved down here with $82 in a broken down Buick that I wish I still had, but it stopped running on me. It was just a terrible car. And I showed up here, and then within 2 weeks, you know my aunt. She's very, like, you know, energetic. She's a go-getter.
No, but not just that. She's really nice.
She's so nice.
She's super nice. Very welcoming.
Oh, yeah.
Very bubbly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was telling her, I was like, yeah, we're going to be recording the pod tonight at, like, 11 or something. And she was like, I want to stay up for it. And I was like, just, no. You can go to bed. Like, you got school tomorrow. She's in nursing school, by the way. Which is a whole nother thing. She's just, that's the type of person she is. Yeah. But yeah, no. So within 2 weeks, I had a new recruiting officer down here, and they set me up with the Intel gig. And thank God. Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, we were at tech school at the same time, did not hang out.
Well, probably I might have saw you
once. Yeah, I remember distinctly seeing you because you had the mustache.
Yeah.
Did you have the mustache? You won the mustache contest. Competition. Yeah, you won that competition.
Funny story about that.
What?
Funny. Were you there?
What? I was skipping out on PT when they did the. Didn't they do the award at PT?
They did the award at like an all day festival, like a day off.
I graduated the day before that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny. I don't know if I told you.
No, I've never heard this.
What happened was, so on that day, right, everyone was supposed to, kind of like a sports day, right?
Yeah, it was like the family day or whatever.
Yeah. On that day, you weren't supposed to take your phone out. Like, you weren't supposed to have your phone out of your dorm.
Yeah.
Or you're basically fucking mandatory fun. Like, you just go and hang out all day and do nothing and just play sports.
Yep.
But it was boring.
Yeah, it's the Air Force mandatory stuff, yeah. But
anyways, every weekend I go to San Antonio, right? So I was probably going to San Antonio from March to, like, June. So that's, like, 3 months.
And by the way, for the listeners, tech school, 2.5-hour drive?
Three hours.
3 hours? Yeah. 3 hours from where we were at.
Yeah. So I would drive from San Angelo to San Antonio every weekend for, like, 3 months.
Yeah.
And so after that sports day, you're clear to go. So I was going to go, but I didn't want to go back to my dorm because I had all my shit in my car already. Mm-hmm. So I was just going to, like, after they dismissed us... Sorry. After they dismissed us, I was just going to go to my car and drive.
That's it.
Right? So I had my phone in my pocket, in my backpack, but I was on B shift, which is like the night shifts.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'd wake up like around 10 a.m. in the mornings during B shift.
Yeah.
I just get up and do shit. But I never turned the alarm off. So the alarm.
On your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the alarm went off in my backpack after I was presented the mustache award.
So in front of everyone?
Yeah. So I was presented the mustache award on stage. They gave me a trophy. They gave me a $30, like, Visa gift card.
Yeah.
And I sat back down, and then they were still talking about stuff. And then all I hear is,
Which I can appreciate, by the way. I use the same alarm, but go on.
And it was just like, I was like, oh, shit. And I, like, reached in my backpack, and I tried to, like, turn off before, but I couldn't. Like,
yeah.
It was in, by the time, everyone was like, whose phone is that?
Yeah.
Like, all the MTLs, whatever.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to stand up, to be honest, because some girl on my right was like, I have my phone on me. I was like, that was her phone.
That was her.
Yep.
Thank you.
But they were like, was that your alarm that went off? And she was like, that was my alarm. I was like, fuck. It was like, stand up, whoever's alarm was that. And I was like,
okay, here we go. Actually, integrity first. Did you do it?
And I stood up.
Yeah.
All right. And they were like, wow, like,
you just, the must, you just
get back on stage, right? But I didn't get in any trouble or anything. They just they kind of just made me an example.
Yeah.
Like, they just told me on stage to embarrass me, and then basically just told everybody, if you have your phone on you, just give it to us now. That way, if we find you catching it, you won't get in more trouble.
Yeah.
So, actually, a lot of people had their phone on them because
they all start turning. You know what's funny? Like, so, and I think you're kind of in the same mindset as I am. By the way, I was thinking about this podcast beforehand. I was listening to another podcast, and I was kind of taking notes on their format. And what was interesting, the host and the guest on that podcast, they were finding all these similarities in their upbringing and in their ambitions and the way they thought and all this stuff. And it kind of started to get me thinking about, like, me and you when we do this podcast. And I was like, there's actually a weird amount of similarities here. And we'll get to some of those in a bit. I want to touch on some of those. But I think this is one of them. Rules, like, and we're not talking legal rules, but we're talking like a rule, like, for instance, you're not allowed to have your phone on you, right? Yep. And we're not talking in a secure building. We're talking at a mandatory fun day or something like that. Those types of rules are meant to be broken. They just are.
Yeah.
They just are. If they're not damaging to the morale of the unit, or they're not damaging
to anybody else,
that rule should be broken. It should be tested a little bit.
Yeah.
And if you get caught, like you did, you stood up and you're like, you know what? It was my, I fucked up. I fucked this one up. I think that's great. I think that's awesome. It teaches you things. It teaches you, number one,
Turn your alarm off.
Be more, you know, attentive.
Yeah.
Because you have to be to get away with it.
Yeah.
Right? You can't just, like, be normal. You know, you gotta kinda like make sure you know, dot your I's and cross your T's. Cross your T's and dot your I's. I mean, I flip that around. Freaking beer's getting to me already. But, like,
Po Buddy's
nerfed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that in the office?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when Pam goes up to Dwight, and he's like...
Dwight's like, did you just have a stroke?
Are you having a stroke? But it's funny, because, like, so I'm in ROTC, right, over at UTSA, and I swear... So I'm within ROTC. There's a good amount of us, but we're entitled prior enlisted. Right. So people who have actually served in the armed forces before joining ROTC, who actually, you know, did stuff, you're kind of held in a higher regard, not like a higher regard, but, you know, there's a little bit more respect there.
It's like yeah, you've done it. But you've basically done this shit before.
Exactly. You've done this stuff before. And so that expectation is higher, too.
Yeah.
And what you don't realize, and what I've realized, is I've picked up some bad habits, especially with stuff like marching and stuff like that. And so I look around a lot when I'm marching, because I'm like, I'm not in BMT, so yeah. I can, you know, yeah. that's like my subconscious mindset. And I get called out on it all the time. Now I got this one, POC who's in charge of us, Cadet Chavez. She's on top of it. I look down for a second, she's on top of it. But, like, you just kind of got to own up to that.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm going to stop necessarily. Like, I march the way I march. I've been marching like that for years now, you know? But you just got to be like, yeah, I fucked that up. My bad. My bad. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
But just so you know, we don't do this in the real Air Force. But, you know.
Dude, that's the toughest thing, man, with ROTC. I'm not even kidding. Like, and I know a lot of cadets might be listening to this, but, like, and it is literally, I hate saying this because it makes me sound old and it makes me sound like that guy who's like, yeah. It's not like that.
Yeah.
But it's so different. Like, it's so, like... Like, when I was over the weekend when we had our drill, 2 weeks ago? Something like that?
Yeah.
I was talking to a few of the guys about it, and they were laughing, because, like, some of the stuff that you worry about in a training environment is not real. Like, it's just, like, it's funny.
It's there to teach you discipline.
Exactly.
But it's like, but I've done this, you know? Like, I get it.
Yeah, which makes it harder. And actually, which honestly, in an ironic way, makes you acquire more discipline, because then you have to discipline yourself to actually do the thing that you already did.
Yeah.
So it's like kind of, you know, it's like a double-edged sword there.
Yeah.
But...
let me see your pencil real quick.
Yeah, here.
I want to try something.
All right, let's see it.
So I don't know if this will work with a pencil.
So he's putting it near
right his now,
beer bottle.
Yeah, what I'm doing is I'm putting it in my beer bottle. I've learned this trick from my
friend. Are you going to pop that off?
Yeah. I don't know. You basically can do it with anything.
But I've done that with a lighter.
I don't know if it'll work with a pencil because it's just an eraser.
Yeah.
So probably won't work with that.
You can try this side of it.
Oh, that would definitely work.
Oh, yeah. That's going to work. Yeah.
So instead
of you just pop that bad boy off. Oh, yeah. There it is.
Just
there
wedge it. Is.
You just wedge it.
If you don't have a...
You know, I'm actually...
If you don't have a bottle opener, an actual one, you can just...
Oh, damn it. You got this. You got to use your pointing finger as leverage. Yeah. This is great podcast shit.
Oh, God damn it. I was trying to look cool.
Yo, you want to see something, dude? Watch this. Watch this. I'm just going to open this one just to... Dude, this is the benefits of being a smoker right here. Oh, motherfucker, that's actually hard. There we go. Ow, my finger hurts now.
Yeah, I see.
It kind of messes your finger up. I don't know if we're going to cut this. Probably not. I don't think we should. So, real quick, back on topic. So, going back to why you joined the Air Force, where you come from and stuff like that. That's actually what I want to talk about. What's your family like?
My family?
Like, and yeah, not only what are they like, but like growing up, what part of that makes you who you are today and like the way you approach life?
I don't know, man, because I feel like I'm different
than
my folks. You know what I mean?
Than your parents or your siblings? Or
my parents. My siblings are, I have an older brother. He's kind of the black sheep of the family. I don't want to go into shit, but he's the black sheep, but...
They always are. I'm the oldest. I was kind of the black sheep for a while. Yeah,
but, so. I mean, at least you're a good person.
Thank you.
Anyways, my mother's siblings take after me.
Yeah.
I have a disabled brother, though, and, disabled brother, he was normal up until the age of 3, until he got, a high fever.
Oh, man.
And it kind of, fried his brain, essentially. No. So he's disabled.
Is that harder than, if they were born that way?
I think it's called encephalitis. Yeah, that's what you get. That's what he got.
Because, oh, my gosh, that's tough, man.
Yeah. He's always, full of smiles.
I love him. Yeah. I've met him. He's a funny...
Super sweet. And then I have my little sister. She's from she's not from anywhere, but she's autistic, right? But she's really smart, to be honest. And she's kind of, it's funny because one time she was my dog was barking, but she was trying to go to sleep, and she was like, "Don't be barking, Tracker." That's the dog's name, Tracker.
Tracker.
And it was cute. But then my little brother, Brayden, he takes after me a lot. I'm his role model. I
fucking love Brayden.
Yeah.
He cracks me up. Playing Call of Duty with Brayden, it's a must. You have to do that before
funny.
You die.
He's funny, man.
He's funny. So, this is one of the similarities that I found between you and I. How many siblings do you have? Four?
Four, yeah.
Yeah. So, I have five. Mm-hmm. Did your parents go to school at all?
They both graduated high school. That's it.
That's me. That's me too. So how does that play on you? Because I know for me, and my mom and dad, by the way, literally some of the most amazing people I've ever met. Dad is one of the hardest working people ever that I've ever met. My mom, same thing. Open. Kind of like my aunt down here. Just very open. People are always at our house. She's very welcoming and all this stuff. And I love them. But the area we grew up in, and the fact that they didn't go to school, school has always been I gotta go to school. I gotta get my degree. I have to. And I don't know why that is. Has it been the same for you on that?
Honestly, not really. My parents never really pushed me to get good grades or to go to college. They just wanted a good life for me.
Yeah.
Because they didn't go through that, right? They just thought, just as long as you're happy.
Yeah.
Then... life is good.
Life is fine.
Then they're happy. And the way they find their happiness is through God, through their religion, their Christianity.
Yeah.
So that's how they're happy. I'm a little different in that. Like, I'm not saying, like, I don't believe in God or anything like that. I was brought up to that stuff. So yeah. I do believe in God, but I'm not about the whole religion aspect of things.
Interesting.
All the organized part of it. But anyways, my parents didn't go to school, so they just wanted me to be happy. But for some reason, I just always thought, I gotta get good grades.
Yeah.
Like, there was something in me that was just like, you had to get good grades.
Yeah.
You had to show that you're smart.
Yeah.
And I think I was, I'm not trying to like toot my own here, but I was probably the smartest out of my siblings.
Yeah.
And I just always got good grades. And I decided, you know, I'm going to go to college.
You know what's funny? Because I know you. Like, and I've kind of seen the way you operate. You got distinguished graduate at tech school, right? Like honors or whatever it was. Yeah. And then you also won Airman of the Year or Airman of the Quarter in our unit. And so I've kind of seen the way you operate, like within, like, not just like on a person-to-person level, but like also in the classroom. And you balance it really well. Because when I was in school, and I've kind of grown out of this, but when I was in high school, and especially in junior high, middle school, like that age range, the biggest thing for me was like I couldn't find that balance between being the class clown and making sure everybody liked me, and then also balancing that with like approaching my grade seriously. Like I couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, all through up until about my junior year in high school, I didn't get great grades. Like I knew my shit. Except for math. I was terrible at math. But, like, I knew my stuff. I just never studied it. I was always more preoccupied with making sure that everybody around me, what they thought of me, was a positive thing.
Mm.
And I could just never balance that. What's refreshing, though, is, like, you're a pretty funny guy. Like, everybody kind of likes Brandon, you know? Like, everybody's attracted to Brandon. But I've seen the way that you operate within a classroom setting. And it actually, like, you're not just good, you excel at it. So is that just second nature to you? Or is that like something that you developed in high school? Like, where does that come from?
I don't know. Like, I just feel like, I just like, just try my best at everything that I do, really.
Yeah.
And I try not to like, honestly, maybe that was probably your problem.
Yeah.
Is that you just focus on what everyone else was thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, I really don't care what anyone's thinking.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just my own person. If they like me, they like me. But, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Most of the time, I'm a likable person.
But you're an unlikable person?
I'm a likable person.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say.
I'm a likable person. You're a very likable person. But I'm not trying to be like, hey, like me.
Yeah.
I'm just my own person, and they like me.
See, and has that been with you since high school? Or since a young age?
I mean, I'm not saying like I was a popular person in high school. Like, everyone liked me. But, like, not only was I good in class, and I was funny in class, but I was also athletic.
Yeah.
So most of the pop people were athletic, right?
Yeah.
Like most pop people in high school were athletic.
Yeah.
So all of them knew me. They knew of me.
Yeah.
I didn't really know of them, but they knew my name.
Yeah. When you walked down the hallway, they knew your name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. See, what's funny is that, like, I was kind of like that. Like, everyone knew I was smarter. I didn't get great grades, and that was embarrassing, actually, for me. But, like, I was athletic. I was the captain of the basketball team. Like, you know, all this stuff. And so people would know me, right? And I really cared about that. I really did, especially in the middle school, junior high. And it's taken me now to about a couple years ago when I hit that rock bottom stage of just not knowing what I was doing, coming out of a breakup, just drinking a lot. Dead-end job, not really having any ambition, where I kind of lost that. And it ironically, that's one of the good things I think that came out of that, is like, you can't care what people think.
Well, it's the same. Once you, if you're saying you were at rock bottom or you're at some bottom, the only way you can go is up.
Yeah, that's the only place you can go.
Yeah.
And thank God I've had special people in my life, you know, you included. Like, you know, I think back and I'm like, okay, I'm in this situation. I don't know how I would have dealt with that situation if not for X, right? And X is always a person. It's always a person. It's every single time. It's one person that does something or influences you some way. And I think that that's kind of my big takeaway from like early James. Like when I go back to junior high and high school, I wanted to be the popular guy. I was a popular guy. I loved being the popular guy, but I really cared about being the popular guy. But the thing that I've kind of learned post high school in that maturation of like succeeding, losing, being beaten down, coming back, all this different stuff is that it doesn't really matter. Like all that matters is like, okay, do you have a connection with someone? And is that connection strong? And can that person help you out? And can you help that person out? You know, it's that one-on-one stuff that really separates everything, you know? Like there's so many situations I can point to that I'm like, that person influenced this.
Yes.
Is it kind of the same for you? So, well, the first question is, what do you think of that? And then is it kind of the same for you in that sense? Like,
well, when you touched on how you point to a person and you ask them for, or like, not you ask, you don't ask them, but like you kind of rely on them to give you something.
Yeah.
And they rely on you to give something. I feel like that's in a way like how humans operate.
Yeah.
But no one taught us that. It's just like we all need to be a cohesive unit. To be able to be like, okay, you can do this for me, I can do this for you, and we can excel together. So to me, that's just kind of like, that's when you touched on that, that's what I thought of.
So did that come naturally to you since you were younger? Or is that something, like for me, it didn't. It didn't. I had a natural inclination to craving that popularity.
Yeah.
And I kind of had to learn through the ups and downs that it doesn't really matter. Is that something that you've always intuitively known? Or
I don't think I really relied on people
as
much. Or, like, I don't really think I cared for people, really. Like, I was just, not to sound like I'm selfish or anything, but, like, I wasn't like, well, I wonder what this person thinks of me.
Yeah.
Or how can I do this to make this person like me? I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to be me and that's it. Like,
yeah, what they think of you is contingent on them.
Yeah,
that's like the most healthy outlook on life. And
because honestly, like I'm kind of like, if you guys know me, like I'm fucking stupid. Like I said some stupid shit, or I just come up with some like the way school works for me. I'll just see something and be like, okay, this relates to this, but like I'll relate it to it in like a fucking dumb way, and.
In the Michael Scott way.
Yeah.
Yeah. The way he memorizes names. And that's
how I memorize stuff.
Yeah.
So that's the way it works for me.
But that works.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, I think that I think a lot of people, and I could be way off on this, but I know for me, this was true. The worst part, because, like, some of my best memories are in these two separate categories. So, like, when I think about, like, high school and junior high, I have some of the best memories in the world. And that was when I was very popular. I cared about all that stuff, and I really worked towards that popularity. And then some of the best memories I have come very recently when I've developed this more mature outlook on life of, like, that doesn't matter. What matters is what you do. And then also who's in your corner, right? And that's going to be a small team. But a lot of people get caught up in this like area where they're still trying to do the popular thing, but it's not working out, or so they're not popular anymore, or they're not satisfied by it. And there's like this confliction, right? And I've experienced that. I know I've experienced that firsthand, and it sucks. It sucks because a lot of questions come out of that. Some depression comes out of that. So someone like yourself, what would you tell that person who's in that area of like, I need people to like, I really feel like I need people to like me. I need this, you know, validation from others.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like most people who are trying to seek validation from other people are probably just trying too hard. And that's why they're not getting that. So honestly, this might sound like cheesy or corny or cliche or whatever, but honestly, bro, like just be yourself.
Be yourself. I knew you were going to say that.
Like, I mean, that's what works for me. Like, I'm just myself. Like, I just say stupid shit. I'm kind of quiet, reserved. But if you get to know me, like, I'm dumb, funny.
You're hilarious.
So, honestly, just be yourself, and then maybe people will like you. But if they don't, like, who cares?
You can't do anything. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you're you. And honestly, like, you need to learn. I'm trying not to, like, get in my feels or whatever. But, like, try to get in people's feels. But, like, you just need to learn to love yourself, honestly. Yeah. Because if you don't love who you are, how is anybody going to love you or like you?
Yeah. No. That's so, you know who's going to love this podcast, by the way, especially this part? CeCe's going to love this. Like, CeCe is all of, and it's one of the biggest things I respect about her. She is so, and for everyone out there, CeCe is my beautiful, amazing girlfriend. But she's, like, all about that self-love, self-validation, you know, all that stuff. And but it is true. Like, and it's so, I hate it because, like, in the world that we live in, everything that is true becomes cliche.
Yeah.
You know? And it is kind of a cliche. But it's like, yeah, you do need to respect and love who you are before you can offer that to anyone else.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't do that, then you're not going to give them a good product, yeah. You know? And then you're short-hosing them. Because then they're going to view you in a certain light, and it's not going to end well. And then, you know, it, so on and so forth.
Well, think of it like this, like what you're saying, like, you're trying to come up with a product.
Right? Yeah.
To sell to people.
Exactly.
But if you're just giving them shit product, they're not going to like it.
Yeah, what are they going to do with that?
You need to refine your product, make it better, and have better quality. Meaning, you need to love yourself.
Yeah.
To give to other people. Yeah. And then they'll appreciate it more.
So what is your... Based on your upbringing, based on your life, and based on, like, the decisions, the good, the bad, all of it, what would your advice be to someone who says, okay, how do I love myself?
How do you love yourself? It's a tough question. I think really what you got to do is you got to, like, really look into, like, who you are.
Yeah.
Like, look into a mirror and just be, like, just point out. So maybe start physical.
Yeah.
You know?
So give yourself that physical manifestation of, like just, actually looking
at you. Just look at you and just try to say nice things about yourself.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, my hair looks good today.
Yeah.
Oh, my smile looks good.
Yeah.
I got good skin.
That ass, though.
Yep. Especially, you know, if you have a whole body mirror, you know, work a little bit, be like, damn, man, I'm a little thick.
Yo. Looking good. I'm looking spry.
I'm looking bootylicious.
All right, what we're gonna do right now, real quick, I gotta take a pee really bad.
All
right. Do you have to take a pee?
No, I can just talk to them.
All right. Brandon's gonna be with you for like a minute here. I can't believe we're doing this in the middle of the podcast, but I have to do it. Like, dude, this stuff is like.
This shit goes through you.
It goes through you. Actually, let me pour this real quick. And again, you know, if you want to hear us talk about something or answer any specific questions, they can literally be about anything. If you want to ask us what we think of women's periods, email us at theconversationalistpodcast@gmail.com. Right? Maybe that's the next topic we'll talk about. I don't know. Actually, let's save that for the email list. Greg's going to email us about
suggest that it. We'll talk about it. Definitely.
What I want to get into next, if you're okay with it, is some of the, like, biggest life lessons that you've learned from, like, failing stuff. So, like, because I know personally, man, I got a fuck ton of them. Like, just stuff that you did or always did, and then one day you're confronted with facts like, oh, shit, I can't do this anymore. Like, this is really not, you know, like, I'm failing at this. But I'm going to go take a pee. Brandon's here for you guys.
All right.
Do your thing, Brandon.
I don't know. That's a tough question that Payne just asked me. What have I failed at? Well, I've kind of failed at a lot of things, really. While he's peeing, I hope you can't hear him peeing with the audio here. He's kind of literally peeing like 10 feet away from me right now in another room. But, I've had About 2 beers so far. About to be on my third. That's a tough question. Well, just take a moment to think about yourself right now. And just think about what have you maybe failed at. And if it's something that you want to get better at, why don't you just try to think of ways you can get better at. But Payne's back, so.
I'm back, guys. I emptied the tank. So real quick, before we go into the failing aspect of life, because, and by the way, I think you're okay with this. I'm okay with this. I think this pod's going to run a little long, which is fine.
Yeah.
You know, that's the best part about a conversation.
We need a long conversation. We've been out of the game for quite some time.
We have. We've done our solo episodes, but when's the last time we got together? Like, that's been a while.
It's been a while, man.
We're busy. We're busy people. We're making money. We're doing things. We're movers and shakers, bro.
Yep.
But, so real quick, I wanted to touch on, and we'll touch on mine as well, but like, first and foremost, what are you majoring in and why are you majoring in it? Which, by the way, I want to preface this because I think this is extremely important. Like, I know a lot of people who are just majoring in something.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa. Like, you are putting forward 4 years of your life to represent something that you've accomplished, you know? Like, you should really care about that. So I just kind of wanted to pick your brain on that.
Well, I majored in exercise and sports science.
Yeah.
I've always been passionate about, you know...
I know. I know. I've been to the gym with you.
Yeah. So I major in that because, like I said, that's a good major to have if you're going to be... If my original plan was to be a physical therapist.
Yeah.
So you can major in that and then go to medical school for a physical therapist.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're good. But I always wanted to do something anyways exercise related, whether that be an athletic trainer, a personal trainer, a sports medicine person.
Yeah.
Strength and conditioning coach.
Just you got the jawline for a physical
just anything that has to do with you moving your body, and then I can help you do that.
So why did you want to do that?
Well, honestly, my original plan was to do that specialize for like veterans,
bro. I love that.
Like, people who have lost some of their mobility.
Shut up. You know I'm a sucker for these things, but continue, go on.
So, that was my thought process at first. But honestly, I just want to help anybody who has gone through some type of trauma or a car accident or just isn't where they want to be anymore or were there, but now they're not there anymore.
Yeah.
Because of some accident or just because maybe they just got lazy.
Yeah.
You know? I want to get them back to where they want to be or to where they want to be, like somewhere they've never been before.
Man.
And that's something that's very driving for me to be able to help people do that and accomplish that. Because in a way, this might sound selfish, but it's like, you know, I got them there. And that makes me, like that thought just be like, I did that for them.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me like proud to be able to do that if I were to do that.
So I have a couple things on this and actually a few questions too, but I want to touch on that last point that you made because Napoleon had a very like, so when he got banished to whatever island, I think it was Elba that he got banished to or whatever, after the first banishment, he ends up coming back, blah, blah, blah. But one of the things he writes in his memoirs is it's easy to do something. It's hard to get people to do what you want to do. Like, it's hard to convince people, and it's not even convincing. It's hard to make someone believe, you know? Yeah. Like, and he was a living, walking validation of that because, like, he gets banished, right? He is a convict to the French government, and he comes back to France, and the government sends out the entire military, like, 4 or 5 brigades on this road to meet him as he's walking into Paris. And he stops, and his generals, who used to work under him, end up siding with him. They say, we'll follow you to the ends of the earth, and then they take Paris. So he went from convict to emperor in a day, you know? And I think that's really important, because it's like, that's one of the hardest things to do, it's not to climb Mount Everest, it's to get person A, B, and C up there with you,
mm-hmm.
you know? So So kind of explain real quick on, so you initially wanted to be a physical therapist, is that yeah. right? Okay, and what you're doing now, how is that different?
What do you mean? what am I doing, what I'm doing now?
Like what you're studying now.
It's the same thing. It's just exercise. So yeah. the way physical therapist works is that it's therapy, mm-hmm. but it's basically exercise therapy.
Yeah.
Physical therapy is just the teach you how to rehabilitate your movement or your muscles.
Yeah.
Through exercise.
Yeah.
So it's same thing.
Same basically. Thing. So a physical therapist, how many years of school is that? Six?
It's like, well, I think it's like four.
Four?
Yeah.
And what you're doing is four as well.
Yeah.
So like when you graduate, you get your degree, you're done. You're done with school, right? You have your degree.
Honestly, I decided to just get a master's. But honestly, I don't even really need an exercise sports science degree to be physical therapist assistant. Yeah. You can just get a certification for that.
Yeah.
But if you have that degree, with that degree and a certification, oh, you're hired for
sure. Like, you're guaranteed.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you want to work for, like, a private practice, or would you want to work for, like, a sports team?
Oh, a sports team would be dope.
Right?
Yeah.
But could you imagine being hired by the Spurs?
That'd be a fucking dream, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You never know, man.
To be able to help the doctors and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah. That'd be dope. It'd be so dope. And by the way, the reason we're talking about this, right? Because I guarantee you that Greg from New Jersey is going to be like, what the fuck? Why am I listening to physical therapy? It's about passion, Greg. Okay. So calm the fuck down. All right. Stop sending emails. Just compile all your questions into one. We don't need 12 emails. We don't need 12 separate emails. I don't have the time, Greg, to go through 12 separate emails.
One email.
Just one email. Wait a few weeks. I guarantee you one email will work. But I think it's important. I think it's really important to know not just why what you're doing is important, but why you're doing that specific thing. I know for myself, right, I'm studying philosophy. It's a weird major to study in. I understand that now. Going to a private Catholic high school, philosophy was kind of a staple. You know, a lot of people were into philosophy. But going into the public school, like UTSA system, right? Mm-hmm. I'm the only cadet. There's 300 cadets in our detachment of ROTC. I'm the only cadet studying philosophy, right? The philosophy department at UTSA is very small. There's a few hundred of us out of 30,000 students, you mm-hmm. know? So it's kind of a niche, you know, like kind of weird degree to get. And it's like, okay, why are you getting that? What can you do for that? And there are a lot of practical applications to that. It's like a great, what? So it's, if you want to be a lawyer, philosophy, absolutely fantastic degree, yeah. fantastic degree before going into law school. Like it is like when they see that, they're like, oh, okay. Think outside the box. Love it. Personally, why I did it for a couple of reasons. I love reading philosophy. I love reading what, okay, this person thinks this, and it's because of X, Y, and Z. And is X, Y, and Z consistent? You know, is it logically consistent? And as a Catholic, right, I was brought up Catholic. I stopped practicing Catholicism for a few years there. And I've, within the last 2 years, I've come back to Catholicism. I was always questioning, like, okay, Catholicism has all these weird rules,
rituals and stuff,
and I was always like, why? Yeah. Why? And that's kind of the first step of a philosopher, is like questioning everything. Why?
Yeah.
So I've always kind of been naturally predisposed to it, but it's also a super, I love that. I think one of the most important things is not only how to logically construct an argument, but also understanding the history of arguments that have come before you, because one of the things that I found is that anytime you think of anything, someone has thought it before, and most of the time someone's written about it before, and you can actually go back and pinpoint that and say, wow, I mean, yes, it may be a different situation,
mm-hmm.
yes, I may be talking about McDonald's, okay, which they weren't talking about in the 1700s, but they were talking about this, they were talking about property or you know, capitalistic governance or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you can kind of correlate that and see, okay, they thought this, they did this based on this. It did not work. Okay, so I shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So what should I do? You know? So there's a lot of different aspects of philosophy that I enjoy. But the point here being is, like, there's a lot of people who just are getting a degree for a degree. They're spending 4 years of their life.
Specifically, officers.
No, it's true.
Yeah, they're just getting a degree and then boom, you're an officer.
It's true. Like, that's the thing. And that's one of those things where it's like, well, yeah, I'm getting a, and no offense to any cadets listening, but I'm getting a kinesiology degree. It's like, well, why? It's like, well, honestly, out of all my options, it was the easiest.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, you know, I get the idea. You're viewing your degree as a stepping stool to a higher calling, but it's like, what if you, like your cousin, unfortunately, what if you end up in a combat situation where you're not able to serve anymore? So you're an officer, but you're not able to serve. You're going to fall back on what degree? And if that degree is not something that you can actually either A, apply to the real world, or B, be passionate about, why are you getting that?
Yeah.
You know? Like, I think you've actually, I think personally, out of the two of us, you've chosen a much more real, you know, applicable degree. Like, philosophy can be a great stepping stone to law, but outside of that, it has really no real world application other than maybe a professor of philosophy.
Yeah.
But the fact that you're passionate about it too is great. That's, you know, awesome. By the way, Brandon here, jawline that could cut through glass.
I don't know about that. I put on a few pounds.
Have you put on a few pounds?
It used to be a little sharper back in the day.
What are you rocking now? What are
I'm
you
like weighing in? 180 right now.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's mostly muscle, right?
It's mostly muscle.
Yeah.
But
do you know your body fat?
Yeah, percentage? It's like 20%.
Okay.
Which is average.
Yeah.
But it's like, I want to get to like 10%.
Yeah.
I want to cut that shit in half.
So my goal is 10%. I'm sitting at...
This ain't gonna work though, but...
Yeah, drinking beer and just shit-talking.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting at 16% right now. So I'm a little thinner than you are. And that shows when we're lifting weights together. So we'll be doing weights. Whatever. Let's say we're bench pressing. And Brandon's doing what? What are you doing on the press?
225.
225, yeah. I'm maybe getting up the same reps at 200. Maybe. Probably more like 180 something.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, so I'm sitting at like 16% body fat. I come in at like 165, so 165 pounds, 5'9 and a half, 5'10.
Mm-hmm.
You're about the same height, right? Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a little shorter, to be honest, but yeah.
But Brandon's got that jawline. He's thick as fuck.
I'm Bo-delicious.
Bo-delicious. So yeah, we've kind of gotten to know each other a little bit. Did you have any questions for me, by the way? Any at all?
What makes you tick? What are your passions?
Ooh.
Like, what do you... After college...
Yeah.
What do you want to do?
Well, and I think you and I have talked about this.
You want to be an officer, right? You want a commission?
Yeah, I want a commission as an officer in the world's greatest Air Force. And I want to serve 30 plus years. I want to be in there as long as I can be. If I give my life in that line of duty beforehand, so be it. But like, if I don't, I want to be in there as long as possible. But what makes me tick? What's funny is like, just a little under a year ago, what made me tick was diametrically opposed to what makes me tick now. So what used to make me tick was the world is a shitty place and people are shitty people, right? People will always let you down.
There's also a lot of good people, though.
Exactly. And so that's what's diametrically opposed to today, mm-hmm. is that back then, even a year ago, my mindset was like, everything sucks and I don't want to suck. So when I wake up in the morning, I want to make sure that I don't suck, right? And that can kind of, it's very vague and it's very broad, so it can kind of affect everything, which I like. I don't do well with a lot of restriction on me, but since I'm at CC, it's kind of changed as I, you know, as mushy as that sounds, it's changed to the point where I'm like, okay, actually the world's pretty awesome and people don't really suck. Mm-hmm. But now because that's true, because the world's great and because people are genuine.